of the Minhag HaParos of Erev Yom Kippur. This morning I just heard in the news that this is very typical. It came out every year here in Eretz Yisrael. You hear this? An organization that's concerned about prevention of cruelty. So they petition Rabbi Badi Yosef Shlita that he should issue a psak against using kaparot on Erev Yom Kippur. And the reason is because chickens are cooped up, shuitoke mashmao, often without water, often without food. May them die of starvation before Yom Kippur, before Erev Yom Kippur, and they feel they're being maltreated, and therefore they want Rabbi Avadya to come out with a psak against using kaparot on Erev Yom Kippur. Rabbi Avadya doesn't have a problem because the Mechaber, as we saw yesterday, Paskins, Yesh to Noah HaMinhag, that one should prevent the minhag of kaparot anyway because of Dr. Marie, because it's chukot ta'akot. So the gentleman who gets on the radio, who's interviewed, who's completely, they asked him, Hayim kvodo shomer Torah mitzvot, b'chlalo. And all of a sudden he becomes an expert on Dr. HaMarie. It's nothing to do, no connection to shomer mitzvot, and all of a sudden he's spouting Dr. HaMarie. I got such a kick out of it. Anyway, there are those who have, of course we should not maltreat chickens, chas v'sholom. We should not cook them up where they should not have the basics, namely food and water, God forbid. That's called Tzar Balechayim. But the Mechaber here brings a number of, he brings that practice, and then the Rama indicates this is a minhag masikin, it's an old minhag, but many have the practice of essentially giving tzedakah. And that's generally what many people, I'm not going to go into the details of kaparot, because I imagine probably many of you not necessarily do kaparot, and therefore I'm not going to trouble. I have a lot to say on the issue of pregnant women and how many time to go in, and some pratim involved in that, but I'm not going to get involved in it because it's not really nogea. I'm just continuing the Ramah on Tafrei Shei. In the middle of the Ramah, he writes, V'yesh mekamot shenogim lelech al hakvarot. There's a practice to visit the kvarot, the graves, on Erev Yom Kippur, ulahabot v'tzdokah. As you know, we say in the davening, v'tshuva u'tfilo tzdokah v'avir n'tzorah gzera. Now, because Machon Zimshonim had them shot in that line. I heard from the Rav Zechariah Levavah many times. Some Rishonim say there are three items that can actually help avert the evil decree. One is tshuva, one is tefillah, one is tzedakah. Each one of them we have to try to intensify. Both our tshuva, both our tefillah, and our tzedakah. However, other Rishonim, it seems from the Rambam, it's mashma, that the pshat in that line is different. The pshat is the following. U'tshuva, and what does tshuva consist of? Tefillah and tzedakah. That's how the Rambam seems to learn pshat in that particular line. That's a big chiddush. That tshuva consists of tefillah and tzedakah. That I'm ma'avir esruah gzeirah. Therefore, one has to certainly improve one's tefillah. I saw someone showed me a little pamphlet called Prayer with Fire. They have all these very fascinating pamphlets today. So there's someone in my shul is very into this, and he puts it on my shtender. As people are wont to do, they put all kinds of things on my shtender that I should read, and he turns it to the middle. And there it says that the Yisro Shlomo Zalman Reibach Zatzal, what resolution do you accept upon yourself in the course of the year? And he said the following resolution of Shlomo Zalman. Halavaya should be able to say the first bracha of Shemoneh Esrei with Kavana. This is the resolution of the Gadol Hador of Shlomo Zalman Reibach Zatzal. And so first I chuckled, and then when I thought about it, I said it's not a chuckling matter. Halavaya should be able to say the first bracha of Shemoneh Esrei with Kavana, where Kavana is Ma'ake. In the first bracha Shemoneh Esrei, it's a Gemara bracha, so that's why I'm mentioning it. You don't mind that. I hope you have a good shleimah. Yes.
Why is it tzedakah? Why is it chesed?
I think tzedakah, by the way, there's no question that chesed also undoubtedly is clearly, I think, included. Although I understand what you're asking. You're asking that tzedakah seems to be, especially on top, it says mom. If you remember those three little lines, I once said about Talmechik. About 40 years ago, he dashed and they said a convention, an OU convention, a Pasha Vayetze. It says tshuva. What does it say on top of tshuva? Tzvilah, kol, tzedakah, mama, mavir, nesra, gzera. I think that when you give money to aniyim, That's the ideal. I'm not saying chesed is not a good thing. Chesed is a wonderful thing. And there's no doubt about it, you are correct. Chesed also can avert the rock zero. But more directly, I imagine tzedakah probably may be on a higher level, because you're giving the person something where he can hopefully use a miyad, purchase whatever he requires, the yomtiv and the like. Money is something which, as you know, is a commodity which has a lot of pragmatic, utilitarian kind of value. Sometimes more so than a chesed has done to a person. I'm not against chesed. Chesed is a great thing. Chesed also averts the rock zero, undoubtedly. If a person doesn't have money, you should do chesed. There's no question about it. But tzedakah, I think, is more direct.
You're saying that tzedakah is more chesed than
I'm saying it's more mavir to rock zero, because the Gemara says in Rosh Hashanah. This is the marker of this statement is the Gemara Rosh Hashanah. And the Gemara there mentions tzedakah. And we know what tzedakah does. Tzedakah tatzil mimaves. The Beis Halevi has a lot of drushes. You know the Beis Halevi? Rabbi Soloveitchik's great-grandfather has a lot of beautiful drushes on the kaf of tzedakah. And tzedakah is something that's very critical. And in many respects, tzedakah, money, can buy a lot of things and is something which is very significant. Okay, I just continue here in the Ramah. He writes that the hakol minug yofeh, the yesh lahasmet shitas hakaporas miyad ak shechziru lo v'samach yodav alo dvus hakarbon. Fine, v'zogi v'nei mi'ayim ala gagos ala chotzer. Okay, I just want to make mention, go back to something that someone mentioned to me, and so I will refer to it. In Tafresh Gimel, maybe I'll just mention this, because I skipped it actually. In Tafresh Gimel, it says there's one sif. This is talking about between Rosh Hashanah and Yom Kippur. So firstly, we know that we have Slichos and Tachnunim that we say, but the Mechaber says the following. He writes over here, and this is basically a very significant halacha. The din is that person, of course, has to do tshuva, and there are certain chumras that we accept upon ourselves during Aser Shemei Tshuva that we don't necessarily accept upon ourselves in the course of the year. And even things that anam yikra adin. Obviously, tshuva, we understand. Tshuva is something that is a definite requirement. However, you'll see in a moment that the Mechaber here mentions several other things that are not necessarily Adin. They are chumras, and somehow we accept upon our chumras dafka during this period of time. And the reason is because since we are considered to be karov to the Rebbeinu Shel Olam, and he's karov to us, the Medrash describes Hashem in the Aseres Metshuva as Melach Masadeh, so it's kedai to take upon oneself chumras that are not necessarily mikradin in order to be able to use them as chuyot. And that's what the Mechaber writes. Av nishenu nizem mipashel akum v'aser sim et shuva tzarech lizor. You know the din of pas akum. Pas akum, as long, of course, as the pas has no trace ingredients in it, you're allowed to eat pas akum. In Europe, for example, I heard there's a problem. I don't know, in England, maybe there's no problem, but in certain countries in Europe, there is a problem. You go to a bakery and you want to buy bread. Often they smear the oven with lard, with fat, and then the bread is baked in that oven. That is a problem. That's called bliya of lard. That means the bread is treif. And therefore, you cannot eat that bread. But in general, as long as you know the bread has no non-kosher ingredients, and wasn't baked with anything non-kosher, there's no problem. It's called pasakum, but there's no isum igradin to eat pasakum. As a matter of fact, Mr. Brewer here refers to what's called paspalta shogoy, which is manufactured almost in a kind of, in a way where many, many people have access to that kind of bread. And the fact of the matter is that dafka during this period of time, the Mechaber says, one should be nizer when it comes to pas akum. Even though kol shana kula, one is not nizer. I saw the Moshe Kodavero, the Ramak, he writes, what's the time for this? He says, the Ptani is because Hashem is knowing with the person mida connected mida. The mida shana modin, modin in low. The way you treat Hashem, so to speak, that's the way he treats you. So if Hashem sees you are going the Fnim Meshuras Adin, you're going out of your way, he will also treat you the Fnim Meshuras Adin. He'll also treat you Minis Chasidus. That's how the Ramak interprets these chumras that people accept upon themselves. So that's also something which is obviously one should consider carefully. And in general, the Gemara says in Avodah Zarah, I assume you're familiar with the Gemara. The Gemara says there was a gzera about using Pasakum. The gzera was Mishum Chitun. What does Chitun mean? That if I come to use their bread, I might come to marry their daughters. However, the Gemara says that doesn't apply to paspalter. Paspalter means that which is manufactured not in a little private bakery in your home, in the home of the goy, but which is a massive, large distribution bakery. So they have what they call paspalter. It means it's pas that is a major bakery, like we have bakeries in Yerushalayim and bakeries in New York. So there, the chash of chitun of marrying the daughter of the baker is absolutely and highly unlikely and probable. And therefore, bakery bread, the gzera does not apply. The gzera against pasakum, mishum chitun, only applies if we're talking about some private bakery in the home of the non-Jew. Then you have a problem. So the Mechaber says that kol hashanakula, if a person doesn't have pas Yisrael, so we're mekel regarding pas palter. There's no shash, as I said, mikra did, you could use pas palter. As a matter of fact, many, many people, I mean, in New York City, there's no problem, because New York City or Chicago or the large cities in Toronto, Teaneck, New Jersey, St. Louis, Missouri, you can get pas Yisrael. Can't you? Aaron, I think you can in St. Louis, Missouri. You can get pas Yisrael, so there's no problem. However, sometimes you live in a small city, but you don't have a Jewishly owned bakery, necessarily. So you have what's called paspalta. Paspalta means a bakery, which is distributing bread in a mass kind of way. And as long as you know that there are no non-kosher ingredients in there, the halacha is you can eat that bread. And that's what many, many people do throughout many cities in the United States. Binyamin Rosenzweig, Shlita. I think I imagine Montana. It's hard to imagine. What's the name of the city that you live in?
Missoula.
I know about Missoula margarine. But Missoula, I'm not familiar with. I can't imagine there's a kosher bakery in Missoula. I can't imagine there's a kosher bakery in the capital of Montana. What's the capital?
Helena.
What's the capital?
Helena.
How do you spell it?
H-E-L-E-N-A.
H-E-L-E-N-A. Helena? Montana. Isn't that a place called Dubuque?
No.
Maybe I'm in the wrong state. I don't even know where Montana is on the map. Whatever the case, I know it's somewhere out there, out west. Is it it's west of Chicago? But is it north?
It's north.
So it's on the near Minnesota?
Yeah, a couple of states away.
Couple of states away. Couple of states away. Okay. Anyway, I can't imagine you have a kosher bakery over there in Missoula, but you do have paspalter. So as long as you know, of course you would have to clarify, there are no non-kosher ingredients. And they don't smear the oven with lard. Then you'd be able to have that pas kol hashanakula. However, now Seres Mechuma, here the Mechaber says that one should be nizer, one should be careful. You'll notice the Ramah is mekel even more than that. Ramah says that even if it's possible to obtain pas Yisrael, the halacha is you can be mekel with pas palter shalakum. Ramah is mekel, and even according to the Mechaber, even if it's difficult to get pas Yisrael, you have to try to get pas Yisrael and not use pas palter in Seres Mechuma. Just one second more. Let me just point out that is this issue only relevant to pas? What about other items such as pretzels, cookies, cakes? Is there a problem of pas aku with reference to these items? It means I'm asking, it's not so easy to get, I imagine. Maybe in New York again it is. Maybe those who live in the large cities, it probably is not so difficult today. There are many, Baruch Hashem, many Hasherim, and many Hashkachas. But the question is, let's say it's not possible. Let's say bread you can get pas Yisrael. But somehow, all the other things, it's very difficult to get. I think you have a company called Stella Dora. They still exist?
Yeah.
You're probably not familiar with them, Daniel. In England, they don't have that. What? In the Bronx. In the Bronx, all of Ashol. Are they still there? Still the door? I assume they have Ashkoch on them, don't they? But I can't imagine that their pas is pas Yisrael. It's hard to imagine. I assume it's pas Akum. So the question is, what happens if you have a Goyisha company? I assume it's a Goyisha company. Still the door. So there's actually, I saw years ago that there's a tshuva of the Tshuva Me'ava. You know the Tshuva Me'ava? He was a Talmud of Nadi Yehuda. A Talmud of Nadi, Rabbi Elazar Fleckley's, his name was. A very famous, you ever heard? Shows the Tshuva's, Tshuva's Me'ava? Tshuva out of love. That's the translation of the Sefer. It's called Tshuva Me'ava. So he actually had the Tshuva He says, if a person is knowing something, you accept upon yourself a davar tov, it has the status of a neder. It's considered to be a neder al pi halacha. When a person, let's say, in the case of pass, a person says pass. So what do you mean when you say pass? I accept upon myself pass yisrael. Are you referring to cakes and to cookies and to pretzels? Probably not. When people say pass, what do they mean? They mean pass, they mean bread. So they have a person who's nizir and pass yisrael, say asim etshuva, that's only what we call b'lashon the other pass. That's what the tshuva me'ava, pass to the halacha. And things that are not passed, not bread, such as cakes and pretzels and cookies and what have you, even though it's made of chamei saminim, it doesn't enter into this mechaber of Shulchan Aruch about being nizer and aser simei tshuva in pas Yisrael. So therefore, it seems that according to this tshuva me'ava, Abelazar Fleckley, you'd be able to use cakes and pretzels from Goyish companies, and you wouldn't be in violation of this din of the mechaber to be nizer dafka in Pas Yisrael doing Aser Simei Tshuva. But I said that all this is according to the Mechaber. We generally are careful. Let me just point out to you, because someone asked me just recently, they wanted to know what the Gedra of Pas is. They asked me, can they have Cheerios during Aser Simei Tshuva? I think Cheerios, what I understand, is a Goyish company, I imagine. Can't imagine there's a Jewish company that makes Cheerios. I don't know. I assume it's a Goyish company. And the question is that considered to be pas? Well, we have one raya from last year, but my Rebbe is not here. Jeremy Kaplan Shlita, he left. But there's a psak of Shlomo Zalman Oybach. Anyone in this room who wasn't here last year, when you hear this psak, you'll probably jump through the roof. Shlomo Zalman Oybach pas to the halacha, but on Cheerios, what bracha do you make? Amotzi. What do you say to that, Noam? You ever hear a psak like that in your life? So I asked Rabbi Levin Sol Shlita, my Rebbe, who was a Talmud Bulu, Rav Shlomo Zalman. He said, yeah. I said, does Rav Shlomo Zalman know what Cheerios are? I said, what are you talking about? They brought him a box of Cheerios just to show him those little Cheerios. He says, amazing psak. The question is, what together of pas? Apparently, Rav Shlomo Zalman can rehel. Anything that I'm Kovei Asudan, what does it mean Kovei Asudan? I have two bowls of Cheerios in the morning, three bowls of Cheerios, whatever it is. That means a Kovei Asudan. You basically established a meal on that item, on Cheerios, and therefore, he held, you have to wash the bench. That's what he held. What do you say, Ari, to that psak? We mentioned it last year a few times. Unbelievable psak. It's also found in Svarim. It's not that Rabbi Nevisol is mechadish to me this psak. It's found actually in Svarim. It's quoted in his name. And therefore, if you come back to the Ashram Zalman held, you have to wash the bench on Cheerios. Does anybody in this room ever heard of anyone or ever saw anyone in their entire lives wash a bench on Cheerios? So I said to Rabbi Nevisol, Arab, Apab lo shamanu, v'lo ra'inu, af echad, she'ol se davar kaza. See, he starts laughing, Rabbi Nevisol. He gets a kick out of me all the time. Mamish was laughing. I asked him, lama rab sofek, why is it so funny? He said, first of all, I asked him, then I asked him, second question, Rav Shlomo Zalman Oybach ever eat Cheerios? He says he never saw Cheerios until they brought it to him. It was the first time probably ever saw Cheerios in his entire life. Probably the last time. He wasn't called Kovei Asudan Cheerios. That's for sure. You eat that kind of breakfast. You know what they eat? Gedolei Yisrael.
Steak.
No, they don't eat steak for breakfast.
It's in the Gemara.
They eat pas shachris. Because it says in the Gemara. They eat pas shachris. So that's what they do. They eat pas shachris, and that's the extent of it. Maybe have a cup of coffee, something along those lines. They don't relate to these kind of seals. But I imagine in America, maybe there are Gedolei Yisrael in America who eat Cheerios. Aaron, what do you say? I do not know. I could not help you. Danny, what do you say? Baltimore? I could only yourself. What does Rabbi Heinemann eat for breakfast? Whatever the case is, I'm just indicating to you that, by the way, I should mention something else, because someone else mentioned another problem to me. Why isn't there an issue of Bishul Akum? You know the issue of Bishul Akum? Bishul Akum is a very serious issue. It's Machol Sasur. So going to the Gemara in Avodah Zarah, going to Din Yerodeah. Bishul Akum means if something is cooked by a goy, okay, you have a number of heterim. Namely, if it's davar shenachat kamo shulchai, something that is eaten that is when it's raw, or something that's not old al shulchan melachim, if it's not something that's eaten by aristocrats, let's say, what would you say about chips? Liminehe, all kinds of chips. Is that bishul akum? They are mavushul, I imagine, aren't they cooked?
You know,
or they're fried, they say, as opposed to being cooked.
You know,
what? So the head generally is that it's not old al shulchan melachim. That's what you generally have to assume. Otherwise, we're in a lot of trouble. With a lot of items.
Sardines.
Now, many, many years ago, I asked the OU, many years ago, about 30 years ago, if they had Nizer and Bishul Akal, and they didn't give me a clear answer. Unbelievable. Even though Rabbi Gedak, Shlita, who now runs the OU, of course they can't have Bishul Akal. There's so many kind of number of interesting Haterim that if something is steam, there's no problem Bishul Akal. That's a big Machlokes HaPoskim. It's not so partial. He spoke about it here 2 years ago in the yeshiva. I asked him the question again, just to put him on the spot. But whatever the case is, there's something about Pesach and HaSalavetchik, Rabbi Shescholik on this Pesach, but at least Yeshua Milisro, the silly cognitive of the Issa, Bishul Akal. But as you said, you have the head of Davash and Allah Shulchan Malachim. Anyway, all this was said just to God made this din that's mentioned over here in Shulchan Aruch, the halacha of Paspalter. And there were some questions that people wanted to ask. But let me just read the Ramah and then you can ask all the questions, okay? The Ramah says, V'yesh l'chol adam l'chapeis l'fashvei shemasa. Certainly during this period of time, in 10 days of Aseres Metshuva, that one should be examining and scrutinizing one's behavior very carefully. L'shulim Aseres Metshuva. And make sure you do tshuva. V'sadek aver yitzarch yose tshuva me'aver avadoi. Say, if you have a suffix, if you did an aver, it needs more tshuva than an aver you did b'taras vadai. Ki yose mischarek sh'yodek sh'asak sh'yodek. Person has mocharata when he knows that he did something wrong that he doesn't know. Lachen karmen Hashem Tolu, who tzachlios yosef yokim bechatas. Hashem Tolu, which is born in the Sufik, is more expensive than a karmen chatas where a person does b'taras badi. Mishnah Berurah writes in Beis, if you want to read Beis, a very famous Mishnah Berurah. Kasta Rara, sheikob yom elu, igeret tachur shabin yomu. Rabin yomu, besides writing Shari Tshuva, which I mentioned is the minute to learn in Chodesh Elul, wrote a very famous igeret tachur, beautiful igeret. Could I read it? Barizal Kasav Shachiv Dilma Basifi Musikal Ashana. You may to learn the Musa Sefer the entire year. The Chen Kasav Agrab and Mishle, the Kamu Bakamos, the Maisa Rab, the Vilna Gaon says the one should learn Sifi Musa. You know what Sifi Musa are? What are Sifi Musa? How would you define them? No, just the general definition. Svarim that talk about Musa. What's Musa?
Improving us.
What?
Improving one's middle.
Yes, Musa basically is improving your character traits, trying to refine your personality. It's a musa, it's something that's very important to learn. Yal kalponim, beilu ayam yasa kolon kidasa zoa, sheyosha kolom sheyishkab. Zoa said, before you go to sleep, you should do tshuva. Yisomni al chatov, yifashe shemasa, look into your actions. Ayim biyamas vash, very famous sefer, biyamas ebishitz. Chelagal dmushal, yishiva yam, 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 ובכל יום יעשה תשובה לא עושה יום. דרך משהו, ביום ראשון יעשה תשובה על מה שאכלתי כל יום וביום ראשון. I never understood this. For years I had problems with Mr. Brewer. He tells you to, somehow, there are certain averas you do on certain days. On Sunday you do avera X. And Monday avera Y. And Tuesday avera Z. Before avera Z. And Wednesday, avera A and B. What's the nature of this? Three, how do you explain this? I never understood this, Mr. Brewer. For years it bothers me. What does it mean? I only do certain averas on certain days? And I specifically do an avera on Sunday? Yeah.
Maybe it's like, when we say Hilchos Teshuvah, it's like you're asking God for forgiveness, right? And one of the steps in the process is that you have to do one. So every Monday, let's say you're faced with generally in your daily routine, you're doing one thing wrong. So in order to correct that, on that Monday, before you already try to go on the right path,
but you're reinterpreting this statement, and that's not exactly what I read here. Maybe I should look into the Yaros Tavash, I should look in the Sefer itself. Yeah, I'm going to look at the Sefer Blin Neder to see what he says. I have the Sefer somewhere at home, except I haven't looked at it in years. Yeah, okay, there were other questions here regarding, yeah, go on.
Pas Akum was not, what was Mishpati with Komakom?
I can't hear you, I'm sorry.
Chokhman Sadam Wright said that Pas Akum was Lo Nishpashtu.
Therefore,
since it didn't get everywhere, not all
that's what
power.
He says, and others. That's by the way, there are other Achronim who said that also. What Ari Chaim is quoting is the Gemara of the Zohar. The Gemara says the Gzera was only Spashi b'chol Yisrael. So then that Gzera is not accepted. And what is it relevant to Masechet Brachos? Since you mentioned everything has to be relevant to Masechet Brachos this year, the answer is the Takan of Ezra. What's the Takan of Ezra? And a Balkari goes to the mikvah. Someone who has an emission, nocturnal emission, will have to opt in nocturnal. Someone actually who sees Keri. So the halacha is the Ezra of the Saking, that before he learns Torah, and before he davens, he has to go to the mikvah. And the chassidim are very makbid about it. They go to the mikvah every day. However, that Zera was not accepted. It was not accepted because Rav HaTzibur lo yichol namago. However, the Machlokes are Rishonim. The Machlokes are Rambam and Ravid. Rosh talks about in brachas. Everything's in brachas. And the Rishonim point out that there may be a distinction here between Torah and Tefillah. Could be the Gabi Torah, it was not accepted. The Gemara gives another reason. The Gemara says, "Halo kol dvarai ka'esh numashem ma'esh in mekabel tuma avdibrei Torah in mekabel tuma." However, regarding Tefillah, perhaps the Gzera was accepted. So there are people who go to be every single day. And then you sit in this room, there's nothing wrong with being a chassid. So if there are, don't feel embarrassed, don't be humiliated. It's good to be a chassid. So the chassidim will go every day, and then some people go every Erev Shabbos. Other people certainly go every Erev Rosh Hashanah, every Erev Yom Kippur. That you should go. Every Rosh Hashanah, every Yom Kippur, you should go to the mikvah. Matter of fact, there's an opinion of Rav Tzadik Gaon. You know that opinion? The Mechaber passes against it. There's an opinion of Rav Tzadik Gaon that says you make a bracha on the tefillah of Erev Yom Kippur. Isn't that astounding, Aaron? It's an astounding position. It's Tav Reish Vav Sif Dalet. I'll just mention it. Tav Reish Vav Sif Dalet. The Mechaber says, Yochel Ritzvol Berilkos Masa Sheyirtze. You should go to the mikvah, and some people get malchus. I had a chavir who liked to give everybody malchus. He was very into this. He felt he was the one in charge of giving out malchus and everyone kippah. Rakshi yeh kodam alayla, ve'enim b'varech ala tefillah. You don't make a bracha. This is lahotzi mishita sapsadigo, who says you make a bracha on the tefillah. The Rosh quotes it, the Rosh in Yuma. I assume you're learning Yuma now. Because right before Yom Kippur, that's what I do. Sarah's make tshuva. At least mishnais in Yuma you should learn so you should know the avoda. What's going on in Yom Kippur? Because sometimes people don't know what's happening. And then it gets very, very, what shall I say? Boring. Some people might even be bored by Rosh Hashanah. I don't know how it's possible. But that's what they tell me. That people sometimes find the davening to be very lengthy and not very exciting. I find the davening Rosh Hashanah and Kippur to be so exciting. Wow. To me, it's the most exciting days of my year. Aryeh Chaim, don't you find it that way too? Okay. Hashem. Anyway, but in order to make it more exciting, you have to know what's going on. So it's good to learn the Mishnayos of Yuma to know the Avoda. Today they have pictorial Mishnayos, illustrated, graphically done, beautifully done. My children have them. And so I like to learn it as well, those Mishnayos, and you see, you got a good sense of the Avoda. Plus, it's good to learn the other Mishnayos of Yuma with the Bartanura, minimally, or learn the Perish and the Machzor. You can do either one, the Sfadi Nusach, the Ashkenazi Nusach. Are you familiar with both the scrolls? The Rav liked the Sfadi Nusach better. And the Rav taught the Avoda a number of times. I was able to be in the Shir. A number of times we taught the Avoda over a period of a month for Yom Kippur. Wow, that was absolutely sensational. But there's also the notes are available today on the Avoda of Rav Soloveitchik. You have it, Dani? The Sefer. It's in the back of the Beis Medrash. And there are actually two different editions. There's the edition of Avraham Lichtenstein, his notes that he took from the Shir of his father-in-law, the Rav. And then there's also, I think Rabbi Khan, Rabbi Yair Khan, a good friend of mine, also wrote notes as well. But then I have my own notes on the Avodah of Yom Kippur, and then a lot of it is available. It's not really, no secrets here. It's good night to look into it. But in the back of the Spanish, you'll see it. Okay, anyway, there is such an opinion that you make a bracha on the tefillah, we know all that. Yeah?
Could you just give a quick definition of the different paths, Pas Yisrael, Pas Achron, and Pas?
I mean, Pas Yisrael basically is similar to Chol Yisrael. What is Chol Yisrael? Where the milking was done by a cow. Pas Yisrael, where the baking of the bread was done by a Jew. That's what Pas Yisrael is. Pas Achron means it was done by a God, by a non-Jew. Yeah? I just cannot hear, I'm sorry. So, that's a halacha quoted by Poskim. If you, a davar tov, a minhag tov, becomes a neder, but only if you accept it upon yourself as something which you're going to do baruch kavua. If you don't accept it upon yourself, you just do it on a one-time basis, that would not become a neder. Only if I decide to go ahead and accept something upon myself and do it baruch kavua, then it becomes a neder, then you require a tos and dar. In general, most people don't, I think, take on those kind of minhagim with the intent in mind that it should be a neder. And that's why we say often, what do we say? Bli neder. Whenever you do something, you should say bli neder. My father-in-law, Mashal, used to say bli neder, bli chora, bli chera, bli kaina, bli shamta, bli or. It's very interesting kind of practice in order to make sure that it would not be a neder, it wouldn't have any kind of binding type of effect. Okay.